We'll be in Psalm 22 this morning. I've got to get, there we go. Sip of water. Y'all pardon me, I already feel my voice. Seems I have more trouble with that these days. I'm going to read a good bit. I'm going to read about the first 19 verses of Psalm 22. So if you're able to stand for that length of time, we'll give you this opportunity at this time. We'll read here from the Word of God. David was the author here. And this is the great crucifixion psalm. I'll read here beginning in the first verse. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted it, and thou did deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, and they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, saying that he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked hath enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They stare, look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. And Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask you this morning, Lord, as we speak of you, I ask you, Lord, to help me, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to help us all, Lord, that we hear not just only the literal words that are written, but hear from your Spirit, Lord, what you would speak to our heart. I ask you, Lord, to help us, for we need help. We ask you this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I don't have something to preach at you this morning. I'm not trying to stand up here and straighten you out or correct you. All I want to try to do this morning is bring Christ to you. I just want to bring to you, if you will, in your trials and your temptations, I want to bring to you that Jesus Christ has been there already and He's here with you in whatever you go through. I could stand up here any Sunday and tell you that you're going through trials and temptations and I would be no prophet. For if you're not, your neighbor is. I mean, it's just too common. Trials and temptations are so common that on any given week, if I say, who's got a trial, at least 3/4 of you would raise your hand any week. And some weeks it'd be all of us. And all I want to try to bring to you this morning is the comfort that is Jesus Christ. This is the crucifixion psalm, we say. 22 and 23 and 24 go together. 22 speaks of the cross. And several things we read on there speak of the cross. The very first verse is what Jesus cried out from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's several things that speak of the privations and of the afflictions of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Speak of what He went through in His body and what He went through in His soul. And it's that we'll speak of this morning. Psalm 23, the one that's the favorite psalm, speaks of that victory that comes in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. It speaks of the peace that comes because He's born again, because that He was raised from the dead, because that He lives again. We see that peace and that victory in Psalm 23. In Psalm 24, we see the great victory of Jesus Christ ascending up into the heavens and the King going back into His throne room. So these three psalms go together. But this morning, we're only going to look at part of Psalm 22. The sufferings of Christ, if you will, and His sufferings with us. And this is what I mean by trying to bring Christ to you in your temptations and your trials. Because you have them, don't you? Don't you have things that go wrong in your life? Do you not wake up in the morning time with something new that's either hurting or going wrong or some bad news in your family? There's always, it seems like, something. We're told that we suffer with Christ, but that means that He suffers with us. And here we see on the cross, you know, we teach and we preach that Christ died for us on the cross. But I wonder how much we look at that and put it and apply it to us. We know He died for our sins, but that was more than just a legal act. I mean, it was a legal act, but there was more than that. It's not only that He died that we might not have to die forever in a burning pit of hell. That's true, and it's a wonderful thing. And I like to preach that sometimes. But there's more than just that. This morning, what I'd like to get to you is that not only did He die, but He suffered and died. And it's that suffering that He did upon the cross that was so necessary. If all that was necessary was His death, then He could have been put to death quickly without the pain and suffering. God does nothing without purpose. Everything He does is with purpose. Why did He suffer so much before He died? He suffered with us. That's why. I'll tell you that He suffered physically with you. You know, we was talking, I guess it was yesterday, I was down at the dump talking with Charles about physical pains. And you know, Charles has got some things going on with his back. And we were just cutting up with it. And I was saying, well, I look at you and Ronald and I see what's coming down the road for me. But there's some truth to that, you know. We look early in our life at the old folks and they talk about all the rheumatism and arthritis and we laugh at it. But, you know, it's coming for us too. There's pains that come on us as we age, is what I'm saying. There's pains in our bodies. And they start fairly early. I think your last day without hurting comes in your early 30s, probably. You start hurting pretty early, and it just progresses and keeps going. Well, sometimes it's bad. I mean, sometimes you can joke about it, and it ain't so bad. But there's days when the pain gets bad. And there's days when the pain of aging gets hard to bear. And the first thing I want to bring out to you is that Jesus suffered with us physically. And that when you're hurting so bad that you can't think straight, do you remember the last time you were there? Hadn't happened to me often, but it's happened to me. I've had before a tooth go bad and it got me to where I couldn't even think clearly to talk. And I know you've had little things and big things happen. Some of you have been through surgeries and been through heart problems and all kinds of things. In the midst of those pains, know that Jesus Christ suffered for you. In the midst of those things, know that what's being described here in the Psalms is being described for a reason. The reason that the Bible tells us of the physical sufferings of Jesus Christ is because God knew that His children went through physical sufferings. God knew that you go through physical pains. And He knew that in those days when you do, that you would call upon Him. And He wanted you to know that He's been there. He wanted you to know that when you talk to Him about what you're suffering, you're not talking a strange language to Him. When you tell the Lord that you're hurting in your knees or in your head or in your back or wherever it is, He knows exactly what you're talking about. He's with you in your sufferings is what I'm trying to say. When He started talking about how He's poured out like water and all of His bones were out of joint. You see, when they dropped that cross, they didn't just raise it up gently. They would nail Him to the cross and raise Him up and drop that cross into a hole. Not easy, but drop it intentionally to cause pain. And it would snatch the bones out of joint often. Now, David wrote this, and he was talking about his sufferings, and I don't know if David knew that he was prophesying what was going to come with the Messiah or not. I don't know. The Spirit of God may have told him or not. He doesn't tell us. But that's what he was doing. He was prophesying that pain that Jesus Christ went through. Why would he go through that pain? Why would the King of Heaven go through physical pain? Why? For you. For you. And when you hurt, you have every right to talk to the Lord. And not only that, you have a right to know from the Word of God that He understands because He's been there. He's done that. He's had those pains. He knows what you suffer. You're not suffering alone. On your worst physical day, you're not suffering alone. Now, it goes deeper than that. The next thing I'd tell you is, when you're sitting there at the house and you feel like you're all alone, there's a suffering that's not physical. There's a suffering that's in our mind and in our emotions. I guess you would just say loneliness. Maybe you can think of another word, but it's the best word I can think of. And you don't have to be alone to feel that loneliness. You can be in the middle of a crowd and feel like you're just all alone in the world. It's a common thing. You can be in a circle of friends and where everybody's enjoying themselves, and just for no reason it can just come upon you and you can feel like you're all alone. It's a common thing to mankind. I'm not talking about anything just of other people. We all have this come upon us sometimes. And we feel like we're all alone in this world. But can I tell you in this psalm that Jesus shows us that He suffered that too. And when you call out to Lord Jesus Christ, He's not an imaginary friend in the sky. He's not some invisible buddy like the atheists like to make fun of us that we believe in. Jesus was a man who walked this earth. He was 100% man and 100% God. You say that adds up to 200%. Well, He's God. Amen. I mean, I don't know how to make that fit your math book. All I can tell you is He was all God and He was all man. Amen. And as a man, He had emotions as well. Jesus wasn't without emotions. I mean, after all, doesn't it say Jesus wept? Doesn't it say of the rich young ruler, He loved him? He knows what it's like to feel emotions, good and bad. And He knew what it was like to be alone. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look, that verse goes deeper than I can explain. Now you get into the nature of the Godhead. Now you get into the Father and the Son. And I can't, and I'm going to tell you, it goes further than I know how to explain. But I can tell you this, He knows what it's like to be alone. He often went to go get alone to pray. There He is with the 12 disciples that He was teaching and training, and He couldn't even be with them. He had to be alone to pray. And there's times we feel all alone. And as much as we're close to those that we're related to, and we're close to friends, close to our church, close to your husband and wife, there's times when there's something inside you that'll just turn and feel all alone. And there's times where it'll feel like you're not able to talk to anybody. That pain itself is described in here too. That you might know from the Word of God that Jesus Christ knows what you feel. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is you're not alone when you feel alone. And I might not be able to understand you on a particular day, but Jesus can. Always. He didn't just write of His physical pains that you'd know that He knows them, but He wrote of those emotional pains, that loneliness that we have. He wrote of being a reproach, of being cast out from everybody else's company. Have you ever felt like that you were the one that everybody was making fun of? But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. He knows what you feel like. He knows what you feel like. You ever had a time where you felt like your own family didn't understand what you was trying to say? Or your own friends just didn't seem like they could get it? I'll promise you, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what you're talking about. And you can talk to Him and He understands you. Again, I'm not trying to make a deep theological point this morning. I just want to bring you the comfort that is Jesus Christ. I want to let you know, not only is He legally your Savior, but He really is your best friend. He really is the one you can turn to every time. He knows your physical pains. He knows that emotional pain and that being alone. And can I tell you that He knows your worst fears? He knows the horrors in your soul. The thing that I'm dealing with right now in my life, and the reason why I came to this, and I'll often preach to you the things that I need from here. I'm convinced that God puts a pastor and a people together. I'm convinced of that. I've seen too many times where some trial that one of you were going through was the same as what I was going through. And I don't know how the Lord works that, but I'm convinced that whatever I need out of here, you need too. I believe God works it that way. What I'm going through right now is I'm watching a couple of people destroy themselves. And I can do nothing about it. And I've seen it before. I had a good friend of mine that I worked with. That years later, I mean, we'd done went our separate ways. I'd moved. He was still down there, and I watched him, and I watched him as his marriage fell apart. And I knew it was going bad, and I got the news that he had locked himself into a hotel room and drank himself to death on purpose. And I knew it was going bad for a long time before that, and I couldn't reach him. And I know that horror of watching somebody destroy themselves and being able to do nothing about it. He's not the only one. I had a neighbor that lived behind me, and he would say he was all right, and he understood God. This whole world thinks they're all right with God. This whole world thinks they understand God, and you can't help them. And I'd go out and walk, and he would come out and walk with me, and I'd try to give him something from Scriptures to help him. And he was strung out on drugs. He got on painkillers, and you don't know how much I hate painkillers. It seems like when people get on pain medication, all it does is it eventually kills their pain by killing them. And the doctors are free to prescribe it. You can go to any doctor you want to and go get pain pills. It's pretty easy. But I tried to help him, and I watched him destroy himself right in front of me. And I couldn't do nothing about it. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Watching a couple folks do that right now. And to me, it's one of the most horrible things out there is to see somebody destroying themselves. You don't know how bad I hate to see a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, boy or girl, either one, make decisions that are permanent decisions that are going to destroy them for the rest of their life. I hate it. I hate it. You know, I see now teenagers that probably ain't 15 with tattoos that are visible I'm talking about visible on their hands and neck. I think, my goodness, don't you know you ain't going to be 15 forever? Well, that's off the subject, but it's not off the subject. I hate to see somebody destroy themselves. And as I was thinking on this, it occurred to me from this psalm that while all of this was going on, while Jesus Christ was suffering your physical pains for you and me, and while He was suffering our loneliness, while He was suffering our reproach, while He was suffering all these things that we feel, He was also suffering those horrors because He saw in front of Him people destroy themselves. Do you know how often Jesus reached out to the Pharisees? He went and ate at the house of Simon the Pharisee. He talked to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, by night. There were a couple of Pharisees that turned to Him. The book of Acts tells us some of the early believers were Pharisees, but not very many. Most of them, while He was reaching to them, they were destroying themselves in front of Him. And He's God. He knew it. He has watched countless millions over the years destroy themselves in front of Him. And He's had to watch that horror the whole way. And so when you and I are watching people we love refuse Him, and you know it hurts. You know what I'm talking about hurts. I want you to know this. You can go to Him and He understands that hurt. He watched Pontius Pilate. Stood in front of him. It says his wife told him she was warned in a dream. Who do you think sent that warning? The very God in front of him sent him that warning. Knew and sent him that warning. And watched Pilate destroy himself in front of him that day. Don't you think that hurt? Because we get hurt over people we're related to. And you say, well, preacher, you don't understand. It's my son, it's my daughter, it's my grandson, my granddaughter. Well, don't you understand that every person that walks is God's creation? Every individual that walks is God's creation. He poured His love into each and every one. Every man and woman that walks this earth was made in the similitude of God. That's why it's so important that we should love one another. Every person that walks this earth, God loves. It said, for God so loved the world And he has to watch people that he made, that he created, that he loves, destroy themselves right in front of him. And I bring this out because when you're dealing with that pain of somebody you cannot help, not only does God know your physical pain, not only does He know your emotional pain, but He knows that horror that you're going through. You can talk to Him. You can go to the Lord and you can just bare your soul about that thing that you cannot help and cannot stop. And He understands you. Your neighbor may not understand you. You may not be able to get satisfaction talking to folks at church. You might be able to. But you can always go to the Lord. What He endured on that cross was more than just your physical pain. It was more than just the price of your sins, although He endured all those things. He endured every horror that you have. Not only, I believe that He tasted hell in a moment. I believe that. He's an infinite God. He could taste an eternity in a moment. And I know what He did on the cross, because on the cross He said, "It is finished." So He didn't have to leave the cross and take care of the rest of it. He said, "It is finished" on the cross. But He witnessed and watched and went through every difficulty you have. What I'm trying to bring to you this morning is the comfort that you're not alone. In the hardest travails and trials you have, and today it might be physical, and tomorrow it might be emotional, and tomorrow and the day after that it might be that spiritual wrestling. When you're out there trying to pray for another soul, and you don't know if they're going to turn or not, I want you to know that Jesus Christ did all of that for the souls of all of mankind. Now, He knew who would be saved, but He also knew who would refuse Him. And He died for them anyhow. So whether you're in a physical battle, or an emotional battle, or a spiritual battle, Jesus Christ has been through it for you. You can talk to Him. And He does understand. Even if I don't, He does understand. And that is your inheritance. That is your promise. That is your gift. The gift of salvation is more than a ticket out of hell. You get Jesus Christ. You don't just get out of hell. You get Jesus Christ. You get a friend and a companion and a brother who's been through everything you could ever go through. And you have free access to Him at any time to tell Him what you're going through. And He will help you. And He will stand by you. And so this morning, all I bring you is Jesus Christ. I like to bring Jesus Christ forward for the salvation of the lost, but it doesn't stop there. Jesus Christ is there for the comfort of the saints. And that's what I want to bring you this morning. Your friend, Jesus Christ, has been everywhere you are, everywhere you might be. You can call on Him freely. And I have nothing I can add to that, and I have nothing I can add this morning. But I'd remind you throughout the day, don't let your trials drive you away from the only one who can help you through your trials, but let them draw you to the only one that can help you in your trials. Brother Craig, if you have a song, if you'd come forward, we'll close as we normally do with songs.